Welcome everyone to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call. This is Payman Motahede, the founder and president of Freedom Law School. And I'm just going to have a little quick test to see if this call has an echo. It seems to me like there's an echo on the call. So I'm just going to ask somebody if you hear an echo on this call. Call from area code 484. Do you hear me with the echo on the call?
Yes, I do.
Folks, anybody just hang in there. I'm going to disconnect and call back. So anybody on the call, please just hang in there. We're going to disconnect and call back as soon as I fix this problem.
Here we are. Oh, sorry, baby. Are you okay? Good idea. Excellent idea, baby. That's an excellent idea. Perfectly fit to you. Sorry, do you want that for your drink?
Okay, folks, I'm back. This is Payman Motahede, the founder and president of Freedom Law School. I apologize if there's a little bit of echo in the sound system. I'm going to try to work on that and minimize it. And I think we almost got it handled. So this is, folks, June 8, 2017, and Freedom Law School has these weekly conference calls every Thursday night to help you live free, of oppressive taxation and control. America was created as a free country. You were born to live free. The founding fathers of America paid with everything they owned, their homes, their belongings, their bodies, their blood, their family, and their lives, fought a bloody revolutionary war to establish a free United States of America so that their great, great, great grandchildren like you can live free. And we have lost much of our freedoms in America over the last 200 plus years. And I believe we have lost much of it because of our ignorance of our system of laws, of the U.S. Constitution, and not standing up firmly enough for our rights. So Freedom Law School is here to help educate you about the law and your rights so each one of you can live free as Americans, and at the same time, we can work together to restore freedom by working with like-minded freedom-seeking Americans like yourselves. I came from Iran, folks, in 1977 at the age of 14, thinking and believing that America was the land of the free, home of the brave, the most prosperous nation that has ever existed on the face of the earth. The most powerful nation on the face of the earth. Right now, America, unfortunately, become the most military power on the earth. So, folks, Freedom Law School is a very unique source of information and education for you. to help you understand the U.S. Constitution, law, and your rights. So, folks, if you go to livefreenow.org, livefreenow.org, you can sign up to get a free freedom education that you will not find any place else in America. Nowhere, folks. You will find the education that Freedom Law School offers on how to live free. Not only that, but Freedom Law School, folks, is the most successful, longest running freedom organization in the history of the modern American freedom movement. No other organization has lasted as long as Freedom Law School and has had such a tremendous, successful track record as Freedom Law School has had. If you go under our victories on our website at livefreenow.org, you will see many of the victories of our students against the IRS and Franchise Tax Board, California Franchise Tax Board, as well as Freedom Law School itself having many victories, myself beating the IRS. And I declare this, folks, all the money in the system in America, every dollar in your pocket, is money that the banksters made out of thin air and lend it out and charge interest on that counterfeit money they produced. And it's primarily done by the bigger banks. All banks do it, but Chase, Citi, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo, those are big five crooks, criminal banksters, which are banks and gangsters that own the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, which is the head of the beast of the Federal Reserve System, that created this fractional reserve banking system where all the money, none of the money is not by government creation, nor is it gold and silver. It's all fraud by the trillions. And that's why, folks, Americans don't have any money to save. Think about it, folks. Over 100 years ago, Americans did not have, in 1900, television, radio, internet, computers, cars, refrigeration. None of these modern things were available back then in 1900. Yet back then, most people owned a home, either cash paid for or had maybe a 5 or 10 year mortgage loan on it. And the wives almost never worked outside the house. Almost never. Why is it with all this technological advances, we're more poor and have this rat race of life? The reason we have this rat race of life is because of this money system. That every dollar in the system is a dollar that is created by charging interest. So the little brother of that system is the income tax system, to suck the wealth of Americans and enslaving us. So the income tax system is something that I think we should get rid of at the same time that we get rid of the corrupt money system that we have. Because these people, by owning our money, folks, they own the entire political system of America. They own the entire media of this country. Is any wonder why you fund all these CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, New York Times, Washington Post, all the major newspapers in America are a bunch of liars? Why they're attacking our president, Donald Trump, grassroots, because he's not part of the corrupt criminal establishment that has run this country for a long time. That's why they try to get rid of him. Even the Republicans like John McCain and Lindsey Graham, the crooks and criminals, sellouts, they're against him because he's not a whore of anybody that pays him the highest bit of money. He actually represents you, the American people. And Freedom Law School is here to help you with that process as well. Tonight I'm going to talk to you about the subject of the IRS. And has the IRS send you a letter to file a 1040 income tax confession form? Missing the return. So have the IRS send you a letter, wondering whether you should respond to it. We covered that issue last week. Tonight, I'm going to go into this issue a little bit more detail. As far as the IRS has sent you a request for a tax return. And of course, it goes without saying that you have not filed a 1040 income tax confession form. That's what the IRS is asking you to file a 1040 income tax confession form. So these weekly commerce calls of Freedom Law School, what I do is I first cover an educational subject. Then I will answer your questions free of charge if we have time left of this two-hour scheduled conference call. I want to help as many of you live free, folks. I used to teach classes 20 years ago in Southern California. I'm in Florida now. And so many of the answers that you want are also answered in Freedom Law School's Freedom courses to help you help yourself as much as possible or as much as you are willing to do yourself. Yet, I'm having these conference calls to meet with you, reach out to you, shake hands with you long distance, connect with you, and see if I can affect your lives to have a more comfortable life, folks, because you are being ripped off by these crooked people in power, the corrupt banksters, and the money, power, special interest, who own the politicians in this country, who own the people in the executive branch, the deep state, and the crooked judges who are appointed by the combination of the crooked politicians and these crooked presidents we've had in the past, Obamas, Bushes, Clintons. Folks, the last half a decent presidents we've had in America were Reagan and Carter. Okay, since then they've been all complete criminal and crooks as president running this country. Trump is the first guy we had since Carter Reagan who has decency and actually wants to do the right thing for the American people. So, as usual, folks, you're going to get a lot of the information that you're looking for also at Freedom Law School's website. Okay, livefreenow.org is your primary source of education. Be sure to sign up to get our free education that is provided to you there. By email, we'll send material to you, and also by U.S. mail the first time. And so I'm going to cover the issue of the letters that the IRS sends out to you asking you for tax return and what happens after that process, what to do. The other website, by the way, which has a lot more information, is freedomlawschool.org. You might want to go there if you really like to read a lot more. There is more available there. So let's go to livefreenow.org. And I hope you have your smartphone, laptop, personal computer, or tablet with you so that you can follow along with me on these conference calls. I'm going to be showing you things on the internet. It's a great tool of education, folks. We can look up things so easily for ourselves. So go there and bring up livefreenow.org, Freedom Law School's website, and go down and put your mouse on the education materials drop-down menu. Then go to the one that says progression of letters that the IRS sends out and click on that. Now, what I put together on this page is the letters that the IRS sends out in a automated computer fashion, most often to someone who's not filed a 1040 income tax confession form. Okay, this is just how they do it. And you need to understand something before I go forward. The IRS simply, folks, does not have the manpower to contact every one of you with a living, breathing IRS agent contacting you and trying to go after you. They just do not have the resources to do that. So what the IRS has to do is to contact people with letters that are pre-formatted, that are pre-written by their teams of lawyers who have very carefully thought through their very specific language that these letters must have in them to accomplish the goal that the IRS has in mind, the kind of reaction they want to get from you. So when you get a letter from the IRS, know this, 99% of the time, it is not written by a human being addressed to you. Even though a letter, it has a signature on it or name on it. And the IRS goes to great length to make it look like the letter is coming from you, from an individual, a real human being. They have a name on the letters. And even though the IRS has offered a signature on those letters, the reason they do that, because they want you to think and believe there's an actual human being that's after you. But there is none. It's all dumb, computer-generated junk mail. No different than the junk mail you get from the supermarket. Sent to you about all these produce and meats and other products that they have on sale that week on the supermarket. It's all programmed to get as many of you to do what they want you to do. Again, there is a minority of the times you will actually get a very small percentage. I would say less than 5% at best. That you will get a letter from a real human being in a local IRS office that writes to you. And even then, the language of those letters even are pre-formatted for the IRS to use. So let's go to these letters now and see what they're like, okay? The first letter, as you see here, is request for tax return. Now, you see, and this, right now here we are, June 2017, the IRS letters they use is a letter number CP-515 or CP-59, okay? But folks, they give their letters a number. They are numbered. I mean, they have literally thousands of letters IRS has for different situations, form letters that the IRS sends out to people automatically. Their employees just pick whichever letter they think is most suitable. Or they program the computer to send out these letters in mass to hundreds of thousands of people, or even millions of Americans at once. within a course of a few weeks. They just print out the computers, go inside the envelopes, automatically sealed, delivered to the post office to scare the bejesus out of you, the American people. So the number of these letters do not matter. The number of the letters can change. Next year, the same letter could be not CP515, could be CP825, or could be JM254, or number 4058. So don't get hung up on these letter numbers. Some patriots tend to do that. It doesn't matter. It's the content of them that really matters, okay? So what the IRS does here is they send you a request for a tax return, okay, CB515 or CB59, and that comes minimum of 1 to 1.5 years after the IRS believes that an income tax confession form or return was due by you and you did not send it in. So let's go ahead and put your mouse on a CB515, right-click on it, open the link in a new tab so you see where the letter CB515 looks like. Here's a sample one. Okay, on the top right it says, notice CB515. In this example, tax year 2008. The date is March 2, 2009. They put your slave surveillance number below that, someone to contact. On the left, from the IRS, Department of Treasury, whatever address it may be, address to your name, address. It's all blacked out right now in this example. Okay. And it's a, the letter is a message about your 2008 Form 1040. You didn't file a Form 1040 tax return. All records show that you haven't filed your tax return for the tax year ending December 31, 2005 in this example, or whatever year it is. We send you a previous notice informing you of this, but the notice may have been returned as undelivered or could not be mailed by the postal United States Postal Service. What you need to do immediately, see, they want you to take action right away. What you need to do immediately, okay? They want to get you to act right away. They want you to complete or sign the form, write the return. That's the first option they want you to do. Okay. Two, if you can't pay the amount due after you file, pay as much as you can now. See, they want you to file. If you file, great, done. File that 1040 income tax confession form. Pay whatever you can, hopefully all of it. And what's the third bullet point they have here? Okay. Before the third bullet point. Or call us at this phone number to discuss your options. Ah, see? Your options. In other words, if you're not sure, you don't want to file, call. And we have one of our agents on the phone scare the bejesus out of you of why you should file a 1040 income tax confession form, even though there is no law requiring you to do so. So this is what they do, folks. This whole letter is completely pre-formatted, computerized, goes out automatically. Okay. Now let's go to the CP59, the other letter, and download that. Okay, put your mouse on download CP59, right click on it, and open a new tab, and it comes up. Message about your 2010 Form 1040 here. You didn't file a 1040 tax return. Our records show you haven't filed your tax return for the tax year ending on whatever. And on the right side, again, what you need to do immediately again, immediately, okay? If you are required to file a tax return for 2010, please do so immediately. Why they insist on you acting right away? Because they know that if you don't do it right away, most likely you never will. You will forget, probably. You put things off and procrastinate and don't come to it. So that's why they have this, that act right away language. They always try to scare you in these letters that are sent out to act right away. Okay. So let's go now to letter number two. Oh, by the way, so here's the thing. When you get this letter, again, what are your options? Your options are to file a 1040 confession form like the IRS wants from you. And if you don't believe you're required to file, well, guess what? There is no legal requirement that you respond to this letter. None. There is no legal requirement for the IRS to send you any of these letters at all. And there is no legal requirement for you to respond to them whatsoever. None. These letters are unofficial. Legally, they don't want any, they don't mean anything. Now, if you go on the bottom of page CP59 letter, pages number 2 and 3, next steps, additional information, go to page 3 on the response form they provide. Okay, on the response form down here, basically, they're trying to box you in into responding to them under oath, like a 1040 income tax confession form. The response form says complete both sides of this form and send it to us in the enclosed envelope. Okay, please provide your contact information. Indicate whether any of the following circumstances apply to you. If you already filed, tell them. If the person addressed on this notice is deceased, dead, oh, okay, this guy passed away. That's not usually the case. If you don't think you have to file a tax return for 2010, explain why you don't think you are required to file a tax return for 2010. Okay, so look at the options they give you. The only options they give you is I'm not a U.S. citizen or permanent resident, on the right side of that page. My work was performed in another country. I could be claimed as a dependent on someone else's return. They don't give you other choices. My total income, they want you to list, and your reason for not filing. Folks, if you tell the IRS you don't think you're required to file a tax return by law, they're going to ignore you, blow you away, and fine you up to $5,000 for simply telling them that you don't believe you, the average American, is required to file a 1040 income tax confession form in the first place. Okay, and then, of course, at the end of this, they want you to sign and mail it to us. So, and if you read that, please, and sign, it's all under penalty of perjury, under oath. Same as the 1040 income tax confession form. So, why should you respond to it? I wouldn't. Given the options that the letter makes available to you, the best option is to ignore the letter. Don't respond to it at all. Okay? So what's going to happen? The IRS is going to go step two, perhaps. Letter number two, your tax return is overdue. Go back to livefreenow.org, that page on the progression of the letters that the IRS sends out. You see letter number two? Your tax return is overdue. Please contact us immediately. CP 518, letter 2050. You know, they've sent you various versions of these letters. Let's go down to download CP518, the old. Okay, open that a new tab. And this is the old version, by the way. You can tell by the font from Fresno, California IRS office. Okay. And what they say is your tax return is overdue. Please contact us immediately. What they're doing here is sending you a second follow-up letter. And in his letter, what they do, they're getting a little bit more serious in the language. For example, in a response, as they give you 1, 2, 3, they're saying upfront to you, 3, failure to file your return and pay any tax due can result in the following. Can, not necessarily can. Further administrative action, including, but not limited to assessing your tax based on information we have received, and additional civil and criminal penalties. Ooh, please scare me. If you believe you are not required to file, or if you have previously filed, please contact us at this 800 number. See, there we go again. They want you to call them if you don't file like they want you to, because they want to scare the bejesus out of you. Okay? And if you go to the third page of this letter, again, it's one of those information they want you to give to them under penalty of perjury, under oath, like a 1040 income tax confession form. I would ignore this letter just the same. How about the download the CP518, the new one? Let's put the mouse on that. Open out a new link, and you're going to see it. Same type of thing, except with newer language. You're seeing a pattern now, folks. The pattern that the IRS sends out these letters, you know, all of this computerized, okay, the lingo of it. Let's go back to progression IRS sends out. And there's a download the letter 20,050, 2050. And you see another one, another version of these letters. This one says, please call us about your overdue taxes or tax returns. And it says, although you may have responded to our previous notices or contact, your tax issue is still not resolved. Okay. As a result, your account has been assigned to this office for enforcement action, which could include seizing your wages or property. It is important that we hear from you within 10 days from the date of this letter. At the bottom, it's signed by Operations Manager, Automated Collection System. Wow, that sounds so scary. See, at the bottom right, letter 2050, revised November 2009, LT-16. Operations Manager, Automated Collection System means a dumb computer. Whoever assigned name appears on there is a dumb computer manager, the person who's responsible for the computer system. That's all. There's no human being writing to you, contacting you. It just made to look official, like if somebody is looking at you. This letter goes out again to hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Americans like you. At the same time, within a course of just a few weeks at most, to print out the process and deliver to the post office. That's all it is. So I wouldn't respond to this letter. Because if I wouldn't call them, because if you call them again, as they say, within 10 days, they're going to scare the bejesus out of you. And that's why, by the way, they put on the call within 10 days. You know, they threaten you with seizing your wages and property to scare you. That's where a letter comes from, this so-called fake automated collection system. Folks, you don't owe anything legally. You've not been assessed or any amount of tax imposed on you by law to be owing anything, to be collecting from you. How could they collect anything from you when you don't owe the IRS anything yet, even according to IRS's own records and computers? Okay? That's why in the first paragraph, they say that as a result, your account has been assigned to this office for enforcement action, which includes seizing your wages or property, but doesn't say it will happen. It is just a bunch of scary sounding letters to scare you. Okay, that's all it is. They try to scare you. So don't fall for the scare tactics, folks. Know that this is the Wizard of Oz talking to you. Behind it all, it's just a huge mainframe computer, huge printers that print out these letters and seal them and send them out to you. Okay? So this progression of the letters that the IRS sends out, folks, is a very important document. This tells you exactly what's going to happen step by step over the course of the next year or two or longer that the IRS will send to you if they are serious about coming after you. Because let me tell you this, a lot of people get these two letters I discussed. Request for tax return or follow-up. And guess what? For many people, it stops right there. You may not get any more letters from the IRS about that particular tax year. That's it. No more. Those two letters might be the only ones you get, and the IRS will leave you alone. And sometimes not. Sometimes the IRS will go on to the following letters, number 3, 4, 5, and 6, and following, that you see I've listed on this page. Sometimes that's what they do. So for a lot of people, it stops right there. And just by simply ignoring this IRS's computer-generated letters, you can win. Now, I'll tell you what. Most patriots, however, unfortunately, most freedom lovers out there do not do this. They do the opposite. Most Americans, what they do in the patriot movement, are told you have to refuse and or rebut and or challenge the IRS's letters, authority, jurisdiction, power, legal standing, or some kind of a challenge or response to the IRS. And typically these responses in the freedom movement are based upon the Uniform Commercial Code, based upon some kind of a misunderstanding of the law that you are out of the government's jurisdiction or system or sandbox. You know, you're a non-taxpayer. They cannot touch you. You're back on the common law out of admiralty law, not a maritime statutory jurisdiction, but under common law, no longer U.S. citizen, but a sovereign state citizen. Or you reclaim your straw man and redemption, or you object to your name being written on these letters in all capital letters. All that, folks, is a bunch of patriot mythologies. Patriot freedom theories that sound good, feel great, make sense, sound freedom-oriented and founding father constitutional position. But they're all baseless, completely baseless. And so what they do, these people, by having you write to the IRS, okay, they're having you do the very worst thing you could do when you in any way make your position about the legality of income tax known to the IRS. Remember, these guys' job to enslave you, to crush you, to subdue you. That's what they're interested in. So when you write back with one of those letters, what you're doing, you are identifying yourself to these crooks. That's right. You're actually identifying yourself. You are making yourself a bigger target, far bigger target than you ever were. Until you respond to the IRS's dumb computer-generated letters, you're simply another patriot for them to nail. But once you respond, now your letter has to be read by a real living human being. Someone has to open it up. It's no longer a computer. And that person might say, oh, wait a minute. Here's one of those wacko patriots that thinks and believes he does not have to follow and pay income tax. Well, let's go get him. My manager taught me about that. So I'm going to send this case to somebody else to go after him personally. So at this stage, you actually may have a real living, breathing IRS agent come after you. Or they're going to say, let's make sure this guy, we're going to come after. They're going to put you in a fast track of IRS coming after you. Or better yet, they may say, you know, we're going to come after a few people criminally every year to put them in prison. Just scare the slaves, subjugate them. If you're being good little sheep slaves, and you know, don't ask questions, don't think, just do what you're told without thinking, without reading. We hit you over the head, just get in line with along with the other slaves. So this guy looks like you could be one of those guys. They might pick you and come after you to put you in prison criminally. Start having a criminal investigator investigate you. Folks, that's how it starts. You wonder how the IRS comes after you criminally? Very, very likely, most often, you responded to the IRS somehow or some way and came after them. Came after them to refute you, to disagree with you, to show you where you are required to file and pay income tax. When you do that, you just invite the IRS to come after you hot and heavy instead of simply sending you dumb computer-generated letters that could be ignored. So, the bottom line answer to this question tonight is, if the IRS has sent you a letter to file a 1040 tax return, you're wondering what to do, the best response is nothing. Simply nothing. Ignore that letter. In fact, I have IRS's attack handbook I got in 1996 from a friend of mine who was IRS agent at the time, over 20 years ago. He was the IRS's attack handbook, which I will put on our website for you to see soon. And I'll look for it. This was an attack handbook to the IRS against the patriots, freedom lovers, anybody questioning the income tax issue question. This was specifically written for the agents. And it said that you identify these people with the letters they send out. People who do Fifth Amendment returns or claim this or claim that. But about people who don't file, The Aerosmith Attack Handbook says these schemes, they call non-filer schemes, people who don't file, simply don't file 1040 income tax confession form, involve individuals who have never filed a return, like someone who was out of high school, 18-year-old, never filed, or simply stopped filing. Like most of you, at some point you got educated and you decided that, hey, there's no law requiring me to file pay income tax. I'm going to stop. Right? They call them non-filer schemes. And this is what the IRS's handbook continues. It says, these individuals are the most difficult to identify since they do not readily identify themselves by sending in protest letters. Okay. When you're sending a letter in response to the IRS, okay, they call it the protest letter, no matter what you send out. And by doing that, you identify yourself as a patriot, as a non-filer, as someone who's challenging the IRS's powers and legitimacy to rob the average American like they've been doing for the past few decades. And now, when you respond, bingo, we got us one. Our fishing worked. We sent our fishing line in the sea, in the ocean, bam. We identify one of these patriots by responding to our dumb computer-generated phishing letter. Folks, these letters go out to tens of millions of Americans every year. According to the IRS, back in 1996, there was at that time 63 million Americans who had not filed the 1040 income tax confession form. 63 million. That was 21 years ago. In 1996 was IRS's own best estimate. Now in 2017, that number has got to be at least over 70, if not close to 80 million. IRS sends out these phishing letters to tens of millions of Americans just to make sure that they catch everybody. They figure they're going to get scared. I got a letter from the IRS. What do I do? They threatened me. They're going to seize my stuff, my wages. Oh, gosh. I heard about the IRS. They can ruin you. Okay. And because, you see, you came out of high school ignorant, just like most Americans, ignorant of the law and your rights. Right? You had a 12th grade government civics class in high school, but didn't you teach you anything real? Jack, about what it's like to be an adult, to live free. You don't know what to do when the IRS comes after you, what you should do, should not do. They don't teach you those things. They bring you out ignorant. Because ignorant people are better slaves. Because they are able to think. They don't read, think, analyze things. So out of fear, they just do what they are told. So now, folks, you've been empowered with knowledge about how the game really works. Do not readily identify yourselves by responding to these requests or demands for a tax return that is of the IRS, by sending something, anything that the IRS would label as protest letter. No matter how fantastic and fancy schmancy or perfect this your patron mythology theories online told you, this will just take you out of their jurisdiction. Out of the system. You're not there. You don't belong there. They must refute you within 30 days. If they don't refute you within 30 days, then they're dead duck. They cannot come after you anymore. Wrong. All that stuff is nonsense, folks. Don't fall for it. I've seen people year after year do that patron mythology, get in trouble. Okay? Just simply, no response is the best response to these letters. So, folks, in the upcoming conference calls, I will address the following letters that you see on this page, on the progression of the letters the IRS sends out. Okay, you see there's no, that goes up, the numbers go up. 10, 12 different things IRS can be sending out to you. I'm going to identify them all to you in the upcoming conference calls, what they are, and what is the best way to respond to each of these letters. Now, remember, there's always in the future going to be some unique situations, differences. So whatever I tell you about this stuff, what to do, it's like general approach that 95 or 99 or 99.9% of people that would fit for. There's always exceptions depending on your situation. For example, if you're Arnold Schwarzenegger, you're some very famous rich actor, the IRS sent you a request for tax return, you haven't filed, I would say that person probably should file because he's way too big and rich and obvious of a target for the IRS. Nothing but to come after him. Okay. Not that I don't think these guys don't file. Okay. So if you're really rich, like you make tens of millions a year, I don't think this stuff will work for you because IRS will love to get you. This is how they got the actor Wesley Snipes, by the way. The black actor Wesley Snipes, who went to prison for 3 years. He followed a patriot mythology leader called Eddie Kane, who I know way back to 1994. I went to one of his classes back then. Eddie Kane was a good guy. He's a good guy, a nice man, decent man, but misinformed. Got to more and more patriot mythology nonsense and got many of his people in trouble and himself, who got convicted two different trials and went to prison. And he wouldn't even show up to court from his prison cell because he said the judge has no jurisdiction over him. Well, guess what? The judge didn't force him to come to the court. Trial went out. He got convicted. And the judge sent a letter to him. You may not recognize this court's jurisdiction, Mr. Kane, but you will serve your sentence. Because government is based upon power. It is not based upon some legal theory you can deny them jurisdiction. They got the guns in his land. They can force it with guns and goons with guns. That's how it works. So I'm going to leave more material for the upcoming calls because there's so much more to cover. So I'm going to go to your questions now. People on the call, if you have questions, folks, I'm here. Folks, normally I charge $360 an hour for my private one-on-one consultations. The first 2 hours of my private consultations, I charge only $240 an hour. But folks, I'm really busy. I got a lot of work to do. There's a lot of people out there. And I've been doing this for 20 years plus with a track record of success. Court documented track record of success. You can see I'd live freenow.org for myself and my students. That's why I try to help you on this call is free. I hope I can answer as many of your questions as fully possible on these Freedom Law School weekly conference calls. However, sometimes I really need to see your paperwork. Your paperwork will say a lot more specifics about what you can or should do. But I will do my best, folks, to at least give you some kind of a direction on what definitely to do or what definitely not to do about your situation. Even if you never get with Freedom Law School, get none of our courses, don't do one-on-one private consultation with me, that's fine. I want to help you all as best as possible with the time here because by helping you, each one of you, answer your questions, I am hoping to answer the questions of many other individuals who have a question or situation very similar to yours, who are listening to this call later on, on YouTube, you know, who knows, 6 months or 6 years down the road. Okay, remember, livefreenow.org is our website, and our phone number, 813-444-4800. Make use of it. If you need help, call Freedom Law School. Check out our courses. That's on the course packages at livefreenow.org. Let's go to our call right now. Area code 347. Jason, you have a question. All right, my friend, call from area code 347. And all of you folks, before you ask a question, give me your first name and where you're calling from, okay? And how did you hear about Freedom Law School? You know, that's very helpful to Freedom Law School, knowing what kind of things Freedom Law School is doing, is helping reach American people like you. Folks, with the media ignoring these issues, the banks that control media, they don't want to talk about us, promote us, get the message out there. You have to find Freedom Law School. And congratulations for having found Freedom Law School, a source of answers and solutions that work for you, and education, which is unmatched any place out there. So you'd be helping other people by giving us feedback as to how was it that you reached Freedom Law School. And be specific. Don't say, I just found you on YouTube or on internet search. Tell me what you typed in on your search engines. If you did that on YouTube or Google, whatever, what did you type in that got you to Freedom Law School or someone else's website? Be as specific as possible. So with that, call from area code 347, my friend. Give me your first name first. What should I call you? You can use pseudonym if you want to. That's okay with me. I can call you anything for your privacy. Where is your name? Hello? Call from area code 347. Okay, call from area code 347 is not there right now. Let's go to another caller whose numbers show up as a bunch of ones. Anonymous, been on the call for almost an hour. Do you have a question, my friend? If so, please announce yourself now.
Yeah, hi, my name is Ron from New Jersey. I have a question concerning income tax other than wages or income through, let's say, work done for an employer. I'm talking specifically about capital gains, short-term, long-term capital gains. Do you have anything in your program that addresses those type of earnings?
Yes. It's not just regular wages and salaries that is not subject to income tax. The average American was not meant to be subject to the tax, period. So what I've talked about, as shown in the previous conference calls, Ron, is that the main underlying key part of the income tax system can be very easily shown to be a fraud. Wages and salaries, which most Americans, most of their income, the greatest dollar amount of income is from wages and salaries, is not subject to income tax. If the government, the IRS, and the crooked government paid by his course have lied to you about that, would you believe them and trust them on anything else to be truthful? So whether you have income from your business, dividends, royalties, capital gains, short-term, long-term, it doesn't matter. As an American, none of that is taxed. All that is a tax on foreigners. In fact, if you go and type in 26 on your computer, USC, 1441, okay? These are the code sections that are subject to withholding. IRS code section 1441, 1442, 1443. Okay, and when you look at these code sections, you'll see They talk about IRS code section 61, 63. Because those are the ones that are subject to the income tax withholding. Foreigners. The whole IRS code section 61, which has been put in the code about items of income. That's all items of income of foreigners. So in my opinion, your capital gains tax, capital gains, short-term or long-term, is no more subject to income tax than someone else's wages or salaries. Does that help you, Ron, with your question?
Yes, it does. It does. Thank you. I have one other thing I could bring up if you have time for one more.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. I've been studying this issue for quite a long time, decades. And you are 100% correct in my assessment of how the whole situation works. However, in my readings over the years, there is another movement by a gentleman. I don't know if you will allow me to talk about another program that actually takes a different point of view. That would be your judgment call, but I've read a book by a gentleman by the name of Peter Hendrickson, Cracking the Code. Okay. I'm sure you're familiar with everybody that's in the movement. So he takes, yes. I have never followed his advice, but his stance on the whole issue has been intriguing to me. I'm more in your camp with your methods, but he takes a diametrically 180 degree opposed opinion to that, in that he really feels that if you don't answer any communication from the IRS, that you're voluntarily acquiescing and basically taking a position of guilt from the very beginning. I've never agreed with that, and I've followed his movement. I get his communication, so on and so forth. I'm kind of intrigued by that. But anyway, having said all that, I was wondering if you could just lend an opinion on if there's any credence to any of his teachings whatsoever, because I'm sure that you're familiar with it.
Yes, I am. In fact, I met Pete Henningsen about 13 years ago at a conference. I know it was actually about 9 years ago, to be more exact. And and it was in the suburbs of D.C. area, and the We the People Foundation conference. And Bob Schultz of We the People Foundation got many of the leaders of the freedom movement that were there together, like Tom Cryer, Joseph Bannister, Steve Hempfling, myself, a couple others were there, and he got us all together to talk and to try to work together, which I agreed. I thought that was a good idea, that the leaders of the freedom movement ought to work closer together for the cause of freedom. That is what the founding fathers did. So I met him there. That was way before he went to prison. For taxes, they framed him to go to jail. Anyhow, he got out. And I also get his newsletter, by the way, and sometimes I get to read it. And he makes a lot of good points, a lot of good education he has puts out. From what the Supreme Court has said about the income tax, for example, you know, he cites his laws right there. So that's a good thing that he does. And I think he's done a good job of waking up a lot of people to the issue of the income tax fraud. But that notion that you just mentioned, that if you do not respond to the IRS's letters, and if you don't respond, you are assumed to have agreed with them. It has no concept in law, because these requests for tax returns are not required to be sent by the IRS to you. They are not to be found anywhere in the IRS code, in the tax laws that the IRS has to send these things out at all, whatsoever, to anybody. So it doesn't mean that you agree with them if you don't answer them. You just chose to not answer them for whatever reason. Whether you're too busy, you don't care to, you're sick, whatever, it doesn't matter. You just chose not to respond. So the reason what he does, I think, kind of like Urban Schiff, late great Urban Schiff, who passed away a couple years ago. You know, for most people that are wage earners, because money has been stolen from their paycheck, because the IRS has intimidated their employer to force that person to fill out a W-4 and withhold or steal from the paycheck up front, because that has happened to begin with, the only way that person can get the money back is to fill out some kind of an IRS form to the IRS to get the money that was stolen from them back. And so Irma Schiff did zero returns. Lynn Meredith did zero returns. Another patriot leader way back then. What Pete Henderson does is you correct the misinformation that your employer sent to the IRS or a third party that what was paid to you was taxable income. So I appreciate that method. He does that, and sometimes it does work. Sometimes I've seen people get refunds of the money they paid to the IRS, but oftentimes it doesn't work. And on top of that, the person gets penalized $5,000 for simply bringing up a letter to the IRS that the IRS disagrees with and the claim is frivolous. And the more you follow up with that method, every time you send the IRS more follow-up letters, guess what? You got more of those $5,000 penalties. So I'll let people know, if you want to do that approach, it's your prerogative, your right to do that. But do that with open eyes, knowing that you may get a refund because you're correcting the false assumption your employer sent to the IRS or third party that what you got paid was taxable income, even though it's not. But knowing that, on the other hand, you could get no money and get penalized as well. So given all that, you know, I found that you can win against the IRS a lot better if you simply just do not respond until the right time and place when you should respond to challenge the IRS. When it comes to withholding issue, the best focus is to not have the money stolen from your paycheck by completely relying upon the letters and text of the law that you should attach to your letter to your employer. That should be the basis of you not having withholding from your paycheck to begin with. That help you with your question, Ron?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Anything else before I go to other people with questions, Ron?
No, it's all for me. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, my friend. Let's go to our caller we have from Miracle 347, who was not there when I called him out. Maybe he's back now. Caller from Miracle 347. If you have a question, please announce yourself now. Okay. No question from caller from Miracle 347. Let's go to call from Miracle 484. If you have a question, call from Miracle 484. Please announce yourself now.
Yes. Hello. My name is Eric. I'm from Florida. I had a question related to CFRs versus USC. What's the difference? Which one is like more law?
Very good question. What's the difference between CFR and USC? Well, that's the kind of things I cover in more detail in Freedom Law School's course called A Practical Road to Freedom from Oppressive Taxation and Control. But I'm happy to go over it here a little bit as well. See, federal laws or United States laws, the United States government, they categorize them in a set of laws called the United States Code, USC. So the United States Code, or USC, is the law written by the legislature. Now, about the about late 1800s, when it was time, they wanted to regulate railroads. And a lot of the details, Congress didn't know how to write or didn't want to do it, or they thought, well, it's minor stuff. They did not want to take the time to write it. So they started delegating, in my opinion, unconstitutionally, the lawmaking to the executive branch of the government, whose job is to execute the laws. Not to make law, but to execute the law. The law is made, supposedly, by the legislative branch of government. So the process of writing the federal regulations, which is putting details of the law in writing, started way back then. And it started publishing that in the Federal Register. Federal Register was those regulations which show the details of the law that Congress did not want to take the time to bother. They delegated that to the executive branch to write up those details or minutia. It's like Congress writes the as a human body, puts the bones, muscles, you know, veins in there, you know, and the executive branch puts the skin and hair on there. You know, all the major arteries are there by Congress, but the little veins are put in there by the executive. Those regulations written by the executive branch to regulate how they do stuff were published in the Federal Register. Over time, they became so much, so voluminous, that they started categorizing those in a book format by subject matter, by code of federal regulations. So the Code of Federal Regulations is the executive branch interpreting the law written by Congress in the statutes, in the United States Code, USC, and putting the final details of how it applies to different situations in there. So technically they're both law, you could say that. But if there's any question or doubt, United States Code, within my Congress, you know, vetoes or trumps a regulation that is not consistent or is not found in the United States Code. Does that help you with your question, Eric?
Yeah. If something is in the code, the CFRs, but it's not in the USC, then the USC trumps the CFRs?
Yes.
I was looking through the 26 CFRs, and they kind of match the 26 USC. But there's a few things that are extra in CFRs that aren't in the USC. Like it specifies what a United States citizen is. Whereas the USC does.
Okay. Again, I'm not going to get into the exact situation because I don't have that in front of me. But bottom line is, for example, you cannot impose a tax based upon the language of a regulation. Mm-hmm. Because regulation is written by executive. The executive branch cannot write or make laws. All they can do is put the more final details in there. So they cannot be taxed based upon regulation. It has to be based upon the statute written by Congress as codified or categorized in the United States Code. Okay?
All right. Thanks for all you do. Appreciate it.
You are most welcome, my friend. Let's go to another caller we have right now from area code 530. If you have a question, call from area code 530. Please announce yourself at this time.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. My name is Susan, and I'm calling from California. And I initially searched the internet last week for a lawyer to sue this California State Franchise Tax Board when I came across an article that was written by a Paul Ballmer that said crushes the California Franchise Tax Board and won all this money, which then linked me to a phone number to your Freedom Law School. Anyways, when I called her, my question was then is, can a person sue the Franchise Tax Board of the state of California for violating my rights? I hold a cosmetology license in California State and New York State, but every time I renew my California State cosmetology license, even though I'm unemployed and on disability, the IRS starts sending me these things telling me that I've worked or I have employees or, that, you know, all the scare tactics that you talked of, that they're going to do this or that. And I'm tired of being accused of working when I'm disabled because I renew a license that I have a right to renew after taking state boards. If I want to keep my license to use it in a beauty supply or whatever for discounts, that's my right. So my question when I called was, can they be sued?
Well, yes and no. In other words, the way you and I think we should be able to sue this crooked system, it should work. The easy way that we should be allowed to doesn't work. In other words, when you challenge a franchise tax board, California Franchise Tax Board, FTB, the California's Income Tax Agency, if they disagree with you, you go to the California Board of Equalization, called BOE, to appeal that decision there. Well, the BOE is double crooked. Its members are a bunch of political hacks, crooks. You know, they are people like a state assemblyman who doesn't, you know, take a couple year break from before it runs for another political job. They go there for a few years before become politician again. They're not lawyers. They're not judges. They don't know law. So they go on this rubber stamp, the lawyer saying, rule against the people. They just want slaves. That's it. You're just a slave. They ignore the law. So, you know, they should have ruled against the FTB on this issue. And I went before them many times on this issue. And same thing with Paul Ballmer did. Well, what happened with Paul Ballmer, he beat him on the privacy law issue. There was a privacy law in place California has that's allowed you to sue the state if they use information not about you to come after you in any way. And, of course, the cosmetology license, what they do, they assume you made what the average cosmetologist in California makes. And based upon that, they impute that on you. Well, based upon that, he was able to win $250,000 against the FTB. And then the government lawyers realized they cannot win this case on appeal. They abandoned their appeal. Instead, they went to the crooked legislature of California and said, look, change the law. All you got to do, legislature, change the law. Do not allow people to sue us like Paul Ballmer did. Me and Paul Ballmer and a few others sued the FTB before the law took effect. But by that time, the crooked California judges got the message. even though our second lawsuit was filed before the law took place, they applied the law to us when the law had not, didn't apply to us. So it made it more difficult. So that way is closed, unfortunately. The crooked legislature, they want the money. So, but basically you have to go through that whole state, stages of challenging FDB, the Board of Equalization, then go to courts and go to the court system, challenge that whole thing. And it's just not an easy, quick, inexpensive process to go through. It takes a lot of legal work. Okay, and I moved to from California to Florida. One reason was getting away from that corrupt criminal Mexicanian state, which is so expensive, so oppressive, has the highest poverty rate in the country is in California, not Mississippi, California, because of expensive housing. And it's gotten worse. And it's corrupt FDB, you know, so it could be done. But the problem is that how is someone like you who's disabled, doesn't have much money, is going to go out for these guys, go through the process. So I'm afraid there is no short, quick thing to that to do, you know. Other than if you get somebody comes, if somebody out there is willing to fight the FDB and fund the lawsuit and say, look, here's, for example, $20,000. I'm going to, whatever it takes, go through the whole process, get lawyers, paralegals, you know. They'll write the check, $20,000, $50,000, because it'll take more than that to fight the FDB, go to stages, and you be the guinea pig. I'll be happy to work with that lawyer, attorney, and get this happening. It'll take us a few years to go through that process, Susan, to beat these crooks. Mm-hmm. We probably have to go in federal courts, by the way. I don't think California courts will.
Well, because I've been through with them with this every time.
The system they got going on. Illegal, totally illegal. Okay, but they don't care. They just want the money. So the quickest thing for you to do, in my opinion, is just don't have the license. Okay? Because the license is supposed to be technically to make sure you what you're doing is safe. You're not hurting the public. You know, it was used to have people who handled chemicals, for example, you know, dangerous explosive chemicals, to make sure they know how to do it properly. Well, what do you use acetone and a few other little minor chemicals, you know, which is not a big deal as a cosmetologist, you know. And another option is leave California, go to Nevada, Texas, Florida, some other more freedom-oriented state. And by the way, I highly recommend you consider going is Texas and Florida. Is you're going to make a more less money, but you have a lot less expenses in those other states than California. California has a shrinking middle class with people like you trying to survive. And if you have disability, same thing. You know, there's no, I don't see a future in California, quite frankly. Unless you're a movie star or a rich person or you're in a big high-tech company or work for them, I don't see a future for the average person, middle class out there in California. I could never find a decent job in California. I did. And I had a bachelor's degree in business. I could never get a regular job of any kind with my degree in business in California. Okay, because it's, you know, there's no middle class jobs out there, especially in California. Whereas other states, you don't make as much, but your money goes a lot farther. So in your situation, Susan, not having a license one way or another is really, unfortunately, the best advice I could give you at this point.
Okay, can you hear me?
Any other questions, Susan, I can help you with?
Yeah, can you hear me now? It's just kind of funny that you said that because I do work in film and have worked on film and have worked on movie stars, and that's exactly why I keep my license with hopes to maybe get back to work. I've worked on films like The Titanic for 6 months in Mexico and stuff, so I just feel like why should I be forced to get rid of that license? But I understand what you're saying, and I appreciate your time. So thank you.
You're welcome. What you could do is make that license, by the way, inactive, by the way. Okay, what you could do is they after during the Great Depression, by the way, they literally screwed a lot of Californians that way by doing this thing. And people were just, they were cosmetologists, contractors, lost their jobs. And they came and screwing a lot of these people with these assumptions. You made all this money. And they said the burden of proof is on you to prove you didn't make the money that the average construction contractor or cosmetologist makes. So on their own, you know, California law is made not, you know, they make law by themselves as they go along. The FTB does it, you know, the courts do that to cover it up. So they said, well, gee, somebody came up with a bright idea, which I think is a bright idea, at least, that at the minimum that you could have your license be on an active basis so that later on you could activate it again without having to take tests again. So you can have your license be inactive, okay? And then what you could do, possibly, you could activate it again during a year, and then before the end of the year, inactivate it. Say, I didn't use it. It wasn't working for me. I couldn't get any jobs with it. And next year, do the same thing. Have it be inactive, activate it. I think if you deactivate it every year, hoping you get a business, but you don't, I think they're going to get the message that maybe in this case, you activated your license to try to get something going, but you couldn't get something going, so you let it go again. Let it go inactive again. I think that's probably, if you have to do stay in California, I would maybe try that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, Susan.
All right, well, thank you. Okay, well, thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Let's go to a caller we have from area code 847. Call from area code 847. If you have a question, please announce yourself now. No question there from call from area code 847. Let's go to a 516 area code call. Do you have a question, my friend? If so, please announce yourself.
Hi, Payment. It's Randy. No, just keep up the good work. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Randy, my friend. Let's go to the call from area code 941. If you have a question, please announce yourself now.
Yes, it's John from Florida. And I am in tax court right now with the IRS. And I got a call from the attorney in Jacksonville that says he wants to remand this back to the hearing officer for a due process questions. Hey, Valentin, please get out of here. Thank you. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
There you go. I'm sorry about the interruption. My granddaughter just came in.
Go ahead.
He wants to remand it back to the hearing officer for due process. And I didn't get anywhere with that hearing officer to begin with. That's why I'm in tax court. And I see no reason to go back there. Is there a benefit to going back to big remanded, or should I just take it through? I have a good case. I mean, they said I didn't file. I can document that I did file, not only from my tracking when I mailed the file in, the return in, but I got an acknowledgement from them in writing. And they went and filled out a return for me on a statute that said that I didn't file when I did file, and I can prove that I did. So I think I'm better off in tax court. If they wanted me to go back to a hearing officer that was obstreperous and single-minded, then I don't want to go back there. So am I going to kick myself in the nuts if I just go to tax court? I can prove my case. I mean, whether they will acknowledge that I can prove it, but I can show tracking when I mail the return in, and I can show that they acknowledge that they received my return. So, and then they filed a thing that said that I owed them like $16,000 when I had an $1,148 return coming. And that was because I had a net operating loss carryover that was into six figures. So.
Well, in your case, John, you can have the case. Do not oppose the IRS and let the case be remanded or sent back down to the IRS's appeals office to give you a proper hearing. You can do that. That's fine. I mean, you can oppose them and say, no, you want things to be handled and settled now, but in your case, they are going to agree, the judge, with the IRS and send the case back down to the IRS appeals office anyhow. And it looks like you have
I got a call from an order there.
So
I got a call
even if they do remand it back down, I think you're going to win anyhow. So
okay, well, here's what happened. I got a call from the due process hearing officer saying that they were giving me, you know, it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and she said, I sent you a letter telling you that you were getting a telephone hearing and that today's it. I said, well, you may have sent it, but I never received it, and I didn't. And I asked for more time, and at the time, I'm a diabetic, and at the time, my left toe was about ready to fall off, and they wanted to amputate it or part of my foot. And I was in a lot of pain, and I told her, I said, you're going to have to give me a little bit of time to recover here because I couldn't sleep. I mean, the pain was so bad that I couldn't sleep. And she says, well, I'm just going to mark you down as totally uncooperative and wrote me off. I mean, that was it. And she claimed that she gave me a hearing when I never had a hearing. But I don't expect to get any warm fuzzies if I go back in again. And if I do, then I'll have to pay another filing fee, although it's only $60. But maybe that would be a way to, can I make a counter offer to this attorney that called me?
What kind of a counter offer would you have in mind?
Like they accept the my 1040 that was filed with an $1,148 return, and the monies that they attached for my Social Security, which is my only form of income, just for the record, that money be returned to me with interest. I mean, that's what I want to offer him.
The problem is the tax court has no power to do that. That issue must have been brought forward or addressed before the IRS appeals officer, before the IRS can review that. But you were denied the opportunity to bring that issue up, John. See, that's why the IRS lawyer, in my opinion, correctly, wants you to go back to the IRS appeals officer and have it give you a proper hearing, because the IRS appeals officer incorrectly, wrongly blew you away and ignored you. It was not reasonable to give you more time because you were in a medical condition. That's a bunch of nonsense. And the IRS lawyer, who's more intelligent, recognizes, hey, this IRS employee was wrong. I'm going to send it back and tell him do this thing correctly this time. So let the case be remanded, John, and just go through the moves that you said you'd be doing fine, my friend.
Okay. Very good, but I wouldn't abrogate my right to go back in the tax court if they rule against me, correct?
Right. In fact, once the agent rules against you, in case the IRS appeals officer rules against you, you will go back to the tax court without having to pay a $60 filing fee again. It's going to automatically go to the tax court. That's all that's going to happen.
Okay. Very good. One other thing. They have a lien against both me and my wife here in Florida because of this, and it's a 2010 IRS return. Can they do a lien and a levy, both? And they're sending me notices that they're going to foreclose on my house. Now, I do not believe that they can do that, and from what I listened to, just not tonight, but from your level one course, which I purchased and I encourage everyone to get because it's the best sleeping pill I ever had, was I can sleep tight knowing the information that you've given me and everything's proven to be correct so far. But is there a way to get the lien and levy listed while this is going through? I mean, they stopped taking money out of my Social Security since I filed the thing with tax court, but can I get this lien and levy lifted since they haven't followed their own rules?
Well, levy, John, is taking your wages, Social Security, bank account, which you tell me it already stopped. So the levy has stopped already. So the only thing remaining is a lien, tax lien, they claim they have because they claim you owe them the money Once you win this case, which sounds like from what you're describing, you shall and will win this case, the lien will go away and levy will never start because the whole tax will be zeroed out and any money that they're taking from you, okay, illegally, in tax court, by the way. You know, you could ask for the IRS to give it back to you. The court can issue a declaratory order declaring that you are entitled to all the money back, okay, because the IRS obviously assessment was wrong, anything was taken before from you was wrong, illegal. The court can say that, but the tax court cannot force the IRS to give it to you. IRS, funny thing about the way they're written the law. The IRS, usually on its own, the IRS lawyer, you follow up with them, will have the IRS give the money back to you. We'll go through that process. If they're taking $2,000, $20,000 from you, they will give it back to you also. But if they don't, you may have to go to U.S. District Court, file a lawsuit that the tax court said you owe the IRS nothing and the IRS is not giving the money that was taken from you illegally. So district court will have the power to force the IRS to give the money back at that time. So other than that, right now, John, you're doing just fine. Just keep going forward, my friend.
Okay, thank you. God bless you. I appreciate it. Code office.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend. Okay, yeah, folks, John is an exemplary student. You know, he got the Freedom Law School's course, the first one called A Practical Road to Freedom from Oppressive Taxation and Control. About 20 hours audio, an hour and a half video, about 200 pages of paperwork for only $300. And you can make payments on that. You don't have to come up even $300. $100 and with payments, no problem. 90-day money-back guarantee, which I'll extend to 6 months or a year if you want. And he's listening and using it, folks. That course is a course for adulthood. And you were not taught at age 17 out of high school. And here's John in his 60s. He's using it now. You know, and I encourage all to, at the very minimum, get that course, A Practical Road to Freedom from Oppressive Taxation and Control, Level 1. A course in law and procedures for those who are committed to living a free life. If that's you, then that's the course for you, my friends. Okay. Let's go to all the callers. We've got 20 minutes left. There's a call from area code 810. If you have a question, my friend, please announce yourself at this time.
Yeah, this is Rand.
Sorry, my friend. Go ahead and ask yourself again from here, kid. What was your name again?
Rance.
And how do you spell that?
Can you hear me? R-A-N-C-E.
Thank you, Rance. And how did you hear about Freedom Law School?
I've been listening to you for quite a while. I originally heard from you from Anna Van Wright.
I'm sorry, from who?
Anna Van Wright.
Yes, yes, yes. Very good. Very good, my friend. Well, Rance, and how may I assist you tonight, my friend?
I got a question. I actually got two, but one will work. If you did have a job and they were taking out taxes, and now I filled out a new W-2 form and put exempt on it and they're not, how do I get back, or what form would I need to send in to get all that? We're talking like over $20,000 to get that back.
You had a job, they stole $20,000 out of your paycheck, you wouldn't get that $20,000 back, is that correct?
Yeah, because they were taking taxes out of me. Now I stopped that, so now they're not. And it comes out to around 20,000.
I'm afraid there's no quick way. You have to fill out the, you know, regular 1040 income tax confession form, zero tax return claiming that was not taxable income, or use Pete Hennings' method, as I talked earlier tonight. But if you fill out those Pete Henningsen or zero tax returns of Urban Shift, you still may not get any money back and get penalized $5,000. So I'm afraid I have no easy, quick answer for you, my friend.
Okay, yeah, I got a few letters from that February list $5,000 deal, and I just threw them in the drawer. So, okay, that's it then. Thank you.
You're welcome, my friend. Sorry, I wish I had a better answer for you, my friend. But I want to be honest with you guys. Sometimes, you know, I'm not perfect. I don't have answers because the crooked courts have covered up for the IRS so well with the scam of income tax. The best thing is you already did the right thing, Rance. You know, you stopped the stealing from the first place out of your paycheck. So now you don't have to go and get the $20,000 back. So you did the right thing there, my friend. Okay, let's go to one more call. We have from area code 650. If you have a question, call from area code 650. Please announce yourself now. Okay, no question there from call from area code 650. I'm going to go one more time to call from area code 347. If he's back, he has a question, I'll be happy to answer your question. You have a question, my friend, from area code 347. Okay, no questions there, folks. Thank you very much for joining me. I'm here every Thursday night. This is Payman Motahede, the founder and president of Freedom Law School, to help you live free. Okay, go to livefreenow.org. Get a free information, freedom education sent to you at no charge by mail, and then by email, you're going to get this stuff coming to you every month to empower you to live free now. Tell others about us. Be sure to get on Facebook. Become a fan of Freedom Law School and tell others about us, folks. Facebook, folks, is the new way to really reach out to people. Try it. If you're not on Facebook, get on Facebook, folks. Email is becoming old now. Yes, Facebook is the way things are getting out there more and more nowadays. So get on there. Reach out to other people, folks. Make new friends on them, Facebook, and stay in touch with Freedom Law School. We're here to help you live free and have America become a free country once again together. Good night, everybody.